The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While Jesus was going through a field of grain on a Sabbath, his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you not read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry, how he went into the house of God, took the bread of offering, which only the priests could lawfully eat, ate of it, and shared it with his companions?" Then he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. A couple assignments ago, I was a high school chaplain. I used to teach high school religion. And if there's anything harder than teaching high school, it's teaching high school religion. Because there's always some kid who doubts what you say. You make a point, he says, "Prove it." You make a point, he counters, "How do you know?" And you take the same kid and you put him in history class or religion class or French class or literature. He wouldn't say anything like that. But put him in a religion class and suddenly he's filled with doubts. Why? Because religion is the most expensive subject you can study. It's not a cultural insight. It's not an insight into history. The subject matter of religion is a battle for the allegiance of your soul and of your heart. It's the most expensive subject in the world. You know, they used to say that you have to earn the right to teach kids religion. I always thought you had to earn the right to teach anybody religion, just so that high school kids at least paid you the honesty of being clear about it, right? But if there's one means by which I found it was effective to teach kids religion, it was to tell them the stories of the lives of the saints. Because if you could come up with a good story, with a powerful example, your point was made. The lives of the saints have that power. They have the power to dispel doubt. So learn about the lives of the saints. I'm going to tell you about one of my favorite lives of the saints today. It's our saint of the day. It's St. Peter Claver. Peter Claver was a Jesuit priest, lived in the mid-1600s, but spent the bulk of his life in the New World, in New Spain, Spanish colonies, what is today Colombia. But Peter Claver, he was originally a Spaniard, stellar student at the University of Barcelona, and he'd lined up for himself a professorship, a position of no small prestige, a comfortable, well-established, quite cozy and pleasant life, until one day something happened. God interrupted, upset his cozy plans. Peter Claver met a man named Alphonse Rodrigue, who would later be known as Saint Alphonse Rodrigue. And he had just returned from the Spanish colonies in the New World, and he was terribly shaken by what he saw. Told the story to Peter. Story of ships that would line up on the beaches in Africa, load men into the belly of a ship like bricks in a kiln, travel across the ocean for a month. The foulness, the stench, the unsanitary conditions, only to unload them in the New World to be sold, some of them sick, some of them dead, some of them barely alive. Terribly upset, and it upset Peter too. He tried to go back to his books, but he just couldn't do it. You know, there's some things you just can't unhear, and this was one of them. So Peter shocked all of his colleagues and volunteered to go be a priest in the New World, in the colonies. And everyone imagined that one of Peter's erudition and renown would certainly take a comfortable parish and minister to Spanish viceroys and governors general and Spanish nobility in the colonies. But no. As soon as Peter arrived in the New World, the very first thing he did was he went down into the belly of the ship and did anything he possibly could to help these poor men.
cleaned their wounds, offered them something to drink, gave them something to eat, cleaned them out of a month of a crude, unsanitary conditions that had been their living quarters, all with hardly an inch between them and the next man. And this he did again and again and again. And these people had been sent to the New World, and many of them believed that they were going to be eaten alive when they arrived, scared to death. And they turned to Peter and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "My name is Peter." And they asked, "Why are you good to us?" And he said, "Because I see Jesus in you." And then they would ask, "And now who is Jesus? Tell us about him." And he had a captive audience, the likes of which he never had in any parish in his life. Peter Claver was one of the greatest evangelizers in history. They say he personally baptized 300,000 people. And all of this merely on the power of charity, not a single bit of advanced theology that he'd learned in the university. It's a fantastic life, Peter Claver. It's worth looking into. But, you know, there's a couple of takeaways that I can give you from Peter Claver's life. Number one, allow yourself to be interrupted. God will break into your life today. He will interrupt your plans. Allow him. It's how some of his greatest work happens. Sometimes people will say, you know, where's God in my life? And I pray and nothing happens. And they live a life of such strict regimentation that they never allow God to break in and interrupt. He does his best work when he inconveniences you. God will interrupt your life today. Imagine what would have happened if Peter Claver hadn't let God interrupt. God won't ask you to abandon all of your life's ambitions and travel to a different hemisphere, but when he knocks, open the door. Second lesson is that you have to earn the right to teach someone religion. All of us have people in our lives we want to help. All of us have people in our lives who we'd like to bring closer to Christ. It's very important to remember that the power of your words are only as strong as the life that carries them. At a spiritual director once, he used to say, "Every word you speak comes reeking of the one who speaks it." This is one of the most powerful motives to holiness, towards self-evangelization. When you realize there's people placed in your life, God has put them there, and they're depending on you. And your ability to help them is only as strong as the closeness that you have with Christ. You cannot give what you do not have. In the game of life, the team with the most saints wins. That's how the church won the ancient world. It's how we lost the modern world. It's how we must win it back again. God can use ordinary people and does. People like these 12 apostles, people like Peter Claver, people like you and me. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Peter Claver, pray for us.